because his story is extensive and pleasingly epic. I mean, miracles, plagues, people freed from an oppressive nation, an army crushed by the mighty hand of God.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
For the last couple of weeks in Junior Church, we've been looking at the story of Moses. Moses has, for a long time, been one of the most loved men of the Bible, partly because his story is extensive and pleasingly epic. I mean, miracles, plagues, people freed from an oppressive nation, an army crushed by the mighty hand of God. But also partly because Moses comes across as very human. You get to see a lot of his doubts, a lot of his concerns and worries and struggles in a way that isn't represented with most men in the Bible. Now, I'm going to hazard a guess that most of us in here are already familiar with the narrative of Moses. Most. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going word for word through the story, but just enough to put this into context. Moses has gone to Egypt. Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. God's wonders are poured down upon the Egyptians. The water, the blood, the frogs, the gnats, the flies, so forth and so on, the 10 plagues, all the way up until that final night, that terrible night, where the Spirit of God swept over Egypt and struck down the firstborn. Pharaoh releases the children of God from captivity. The Israelites have departed from Egypt and are celebrating their freedom. They have not yet reached the sea, and they don't even know yet that Pharaoh is pursuing them, when Moses speaks over them the edict of Exodus 13. You have been delivered from Egypt by the mighty hand of God. Now the passage of Exodus 13 contains two basic thoughts. One, you will remember this day. And two, you will remember how this day happened. Well, how will you remember this day? For a week, only eat unleavened bread. In fact, don't eat anything that has yeast in it. You know what? For that week, there must not be any yeast seen in Israel. Why? I mean, is there something inherently righteous about eating unleavened bread? Does it make you more holy to cleanse your body of yeast? No, for one purpose and one purpose only, to remember. Because years down the line, when you wonder why we can't have yeast this week, you remember. Because the Lord delivered us from Egypt. And when you have children and they ask you, why don't we have nice fluffy bread this week? You remember to tell them, because the Lord delivered us from Egypt. And in this way, you will not forget the wonders of God. Now, this is not a particularly hard command to follow. Most of God's commands aren't. Don't eat the fruit. Don't cut your hair. Don't drink wine. All commands given contextually as part of different covenants throughout the Bible. All of them pretty easy to follow. And they all three have one more thing in common. All three of them were broken. But God sets these commands to us not for our inconvenience, but so that we remember what was done for us when we could do nothing. You will remember this day, and you will remember how this day happened. How did this day happen? What exactly did the people of Israel do to earn their freedom? They didn't defeat the Egyptians. In fact, they never even fought with the Egyptians. In some of the stories in the Bible, God purposely restricts the military power of Israel for the purpose of showing them that their continued victories aren't their doing, but His. But in this story, there was no military, no might, no strength. And yet, this is remembered as one of their greatest victories. Remember this day, Israel. Remember that you were delivered from Egypt. Remember that the Lord brought you out of Egypt with His mighty hand. Now, I want to shift directions for a minute, and I swear to you that, at least in my mind, this is relevant. For a moment, I want to talk about the names of God. We can all think of a lot of names that God has given in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are exactly 15 names given to God. I'm just going to go through them really quick. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, God Most High. Adonai, Lord. Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, presented as the actual name of God, sometimes translated as Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, Lord My Banner. Jehovah Ra, Lord My Shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, Lord Who Heals. Jehovah Shema, the Lord Is There. Jehovah Sitkinu, Lord Our Righteousness. Jehovah Mekodeshkim, the Lord Who Sanctifies. El Olam, Everlasting God. Elohim, God. Kana, Jealous. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Will Provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord Is Peace. And finally, Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of the Hosts. Why is this important? Liberal Christianity, which is becoming rapidly the norm, you can ask anybody in here who's ever been to a Bible college, has worked really hard in the last 20 years or so to remove one of these names from the Bible. They haven't written it out yet, but they have gone to great lengths to ignore it. And that is Lord Sabaoth, Lord of the Host, Lord of Armies, Lord of those who go into battle. Ironically, except for Yahweh, Elohim, and Adonai, all of which are used thousands of times, most of these titles are used less than 20 times in the whole Bible. Jehovah Shalom, Lord of Peace, exactly once. But Sabaoth is used almost 300 times in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying that our God is a God who values war and conflict over peace. In fact, that's in direct opposition to what the Bible teaches. But our God is a God who values and claims as His own those who go to battle, which is what we remember on this day, those who have gone to battle, those who have risked and those who have given their lives for the freedom and securities that we enjoy. Now, the word host in the Bible is used somewhat liberally. In some instances, it refers to the angels gathered together by God in the presence of humans, the heavenly host proclaiming peace on earth and goodwill to men. Sometimes it is groups who actually saw war, such as the armies under Gideon or David. Or it could be referring to a group of bedraggled refugees in the midst of their great exodus from Egypt, about to be crushed by the Egyptian army with no hope of survival. Moses leads the people up to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army close on their heels. The Israelites cry out to him, "Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the desert to die?" The pillars of fire and cloud that have been leading the Israelites moves between them and the Egyptians. Moses stretches his hand out over the sea. By the power of God, the sea parts, and the Israelites cross on dry ground. The Egyptians try to follow, but their horses spook and their chariots get stuck and the sea crashes down upon them. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts, has delivered His people out of the hands of an enemy that they could not have defeated. But remember this, the people survived, but the victory belongs to the Lord. If you look at the history of Israel, you will see time and again kingdoms that should have washed over Israel like the tide washes over the shore break against the might of the God which protected this small country. It can be kind of hard reading the Bible to get a feel for the size of Israel. I think it's pretty easy to assume that it's a big place because so much happened there. What if I told you that Israel was significantly smaller than Ohio? About 150 miles long, 50 miles at the widest, 30 miles at the smallest. It's not a big country. And yet an empire that stretched from Europe to Lower Asia to Northern Africa broke its teeth on this kingdom. For when you were with God, who can be against you? No one. But remember, always remember how the victory came to be, the only way the victory can be delivered by the hand of God.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.